So if you have your Bible this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 16 and then just be patient for a minute. We'll get there here in a moment. And as you're turning there to Matthew chapter 16, just want to recap and review some things, either catch you up to speed or remind you, or maybe if you're here for the first time or just here for the last couple weeks, just want to catch you up with some things that God's been speaking. Let's see, before I do that this morning, if you're physically able, would you stand to your feet once again? I just want to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us today, and I want to ask you, as I pray over us corporately, would you pray over your own heart? And I said it earlier, but it's, and I say it often, you know, I don't know where you are, I don't know what you're walking through, but God does. And so I believe that we're here to do so much more this morning than just sing a few songs and have a good message. We're here to encounter and experience the living God. And I believe when we encounter the presence of God, he wants to speak to us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to build us up. So let's pray into that, would you? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we're so grateful. We're so thankful for everything that you've already done. God, if you did nothing else, Lord, we'd have so much to be grateful and thankful for, Lord. But we thank you that you're not finished with us, God. And we thank you for the privilege and the blessing and the opportunity this morning to be gathered in this place, gathered in your name, Lord, and to open up your word. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us today, God, to strengthen us today, God. Those of us that are here this morning who might be hurting or weary or wounded or just struggling in any area of life, God, in our health, in a relationship, in our spirit, God, we pray that you would come. We invite you, Lord, to come and to strengthen us, God, to do what only you can do, God, to heal us and restore us, God, and renew us, God. And we pray you would strengthen us and mature us and grow us up, God, to be the doer of God, the mighty men and women of God that you've made possible for us to be, and to begin to do or continue to do all the things you've called us to do in your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all God's precious people said, amen, amen, amen. So you can be seated, and as you're being seated, I just want to just again review and catch you up on some things. We've been talking about anointing, and anointing is more than this religious word. It's significant. It's the empowerment of God to fulfill the purpose of God in our life, and there's a purpose for every person, and you're going to hear me say this often, so just get used to it. There's a purpose for your life. There's a calling on your life. There's a kingdom destiny on your life, and it's so much bigger and so much grander than just coming to church. Whatever it is that God's called you to, he's put gifting in your life. He's put anointing in your life. He intends to use you for his purposes, and he intends to move through your life to build and expand his kingdom and be a blessing for others. There's a purpose for your life. The calling of God, according to Romans 11, verse 29, the Bible says the calling of God, the gift of God is irrevocable. But the anointing of God is something that must be pursued. The anointing of God is something that must be received. The anointing of God, or this empowerment of God's Spirit, must be protected. It must be guarded. It must be cherished. It must be cultivated. The calling of God is irrevocable, but the anointing of God must be protected. And the anointing of God, or this empowerment to do what God's called you to do, can I submit to you, it's more important than the calling itself. You can have the calling, but if you don't have the empowerment to fulfill it, you'll never step into it. There were people of God who had the promise of God to enter into the promised land, but because they shrunk back, they didn't get a chance to cross over. So just because God's called you to it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to experience the fullness of it. There's this empowerment of God. So we've been talking about this. And listen, we can never take credit for it. It's the grace of God upon our lives. It's the free gift of God upon our lives. But there are throughout the scriptures heart postures, heart conditions, heart attitudes that get God's attention. And when Samuel was sent to find to anoint the next king of Israel, and it was David, but first he started out by seeing these brothers that looked like they would fit the part, that looked like they could be the ones, and God spoke to him, and he said, the Lord doesn't look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. 1 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. He's looking all throughout the earth for someone whose heart is perfected towards him, is committed to him, another translation says, so that he can give strong support to that person. God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. There are heart conditions that get God's attention to release his empowerment and his anointing to our lives. And so a few of the ones that we've talked about were that God looks for and appreciates a humble heart. He looks for and appreciates someone that is hungry for more of him, who is not complacent or satisfied with what we've already experienced. We're grateful, but we want more of God. His heart is moved when our hearts are moved by compassion. That many times throughout the scriptures, before the anointing of God moved and Jesus did miracles and signs and wonders, it says he was moved with compassion. A compassionate heart moves the heart of God and releases the power of God for miracles and signs and wonders. He looks for us to be moved with conviction, a conviction that Jesus is the solution, that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, that Jesus is the answer for every situation in the United States of America and for Turkey and everywhere in between. Jesus is the solution. When we operate with that kind of a conviction, it gets the attention of God. And then the courage to step out. Once we've been moved with compassion, Once we determine in our conviction that Jesus is the answer, we must be moved with courage. Our compassion for the people that God's called us to reach must become greater than the fear of what they think of us. We've got to have a courage to begin to step out. We've got to have a courage to begin to speak up. We've got to have a courage to begin to share our testimony. We have to have a courage to begin to engage with people that are in hurting situations or broken situations and begin to share, Jesus is the way. Let me tell you where I once was and what Jesus did in my life and now where my heart is because of him and only him. So there are heart attitudes and attributes that get God's attention. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the response of the heart. The response of the heart, that our response to the things that God is doing in our life, our response to the things that God is speaking to our hearts, our response to the things that God is doing in our church will oftentimes determine the amount of the revelation that is revealed in our life. That there's a response that moves the heart of God. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Where your heart is, the posture of your heart, the thoughts of your heart are determining the direction of your life. It's important. This is significant, church. Come on, lean in this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to just minister to you or reveal or show you any place in your heart where maybe you've gotten off track or maybe there's been a root of bitterness or maybe there's been a hurt or a rejection or something. Sometimes these things are real and it can come in and it can begin to cause our heart to become hardened or our heart to become disconnected or our heart to become distant from God or from his church or from his people. And he says, above everything else, guard your heart. Where your heart is determining the direction and the course of your life. And Luke 6:45 says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of his heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Even our words and our reactions, our response is flowing from our heart. Listen, there are invitations and revelations that are constantly coming from God. I believe that what God's doing in our church, and this message this morning, like hopefully all of them, is corporately significant to our church, but it's individually significant to you and where you are and God's call on your life and everything that he's already done and everything he desires to do. So there's a corporate significance to this as it regards what God's speaking and what God's doing and the trajectory and the direction of our church family. But there's also significance in it with what God's doing in your own life and what God's doing in your own home and what God's doing in your career and what God's doing in your marriage and your family. And we're constantly receiving invitations. We're constantly receiving, I believe, from God an opportunity to get revelations. But our response determines our direction. And listen, response is important. Response is significant. Listen, men, if you are married or dating, you understand this principle in very real terms. To some of the questions that your wife asks you, to some of the things, the conversations that you have, your response to those questions determines how it's going to go for you. I knew I could count on Ray for that one. Your response determines. There's a response that leads to life, and there's a response that leads to death to the question, does this dress make me look fat? In that moment, come on, there's one question, there's two, or there's many responses, but there's only one right answer. Come on, I'm trying to help you this morning. This is real life help here. You understand the significance. In many ways, we understand the significance of the power of, the importance of our response. It determines direction. It determines life or death. It determines how much we receive of what God's wanting to do in our life. Listen, when a police officer pulls you over for speeding, your response in that moment is important. Your response in that moment determines whether or not you get a ticket, a warning, or you end up on the local news at 5 and 9, you know? Think about it. I mean, your response is significant. Same invitation, same opportunity, same moment, your response is important. Your response, like ticket or taser, depends on your response, largely depends on your response, right? Like ticket and like inconvenience, but you're going down the road, headed to work, maybe a little bit late. That happens with one response. Like helicopter footage of your white Ford Bronco happens on the other end of the response, you know? So we get it in a lot of ways. We understand the significance and the power of our response. So are you there in Matthew chapter 16? Here we are. If you're there, say I'm there. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. And it says this, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? A question. We have a question. And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So one question to you, that this is the question that is still reverberating throughout eternity. Who do we say that Jesus is? There's a lot of answers. So Simon Peter answered. He was often the one that was willing to speak up, you know. And he answered and it said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. Come on, look at your neighbor and say revealed. Come on, look at your other neighbor, say it louder. Revealed. This is not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. One question, who do you say the Son of Man is? There were many responses, many perspectives, many answers that they said some people were giving. There was one answer that unleashed the destiny of God in Simon's life. He became Peter, the rock on which God would build his church. And the rock is the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Can I just, I said it a moment ago, it's worth saying again. That's one of the most significant questions. That's determining the course, the trajectory, the direction of every person's life. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that Jesus is? And some say he was a good man. Some say he was a prophet. I say because I know, because God's revealed, because I've experienced, he is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's my Savior and he's my Lord. And Simon answered well. He responded well to the revelation of God. Listen, response determines direction, but response also determines the reality of how much of God's revelation is established and enjoyed in your life. A correct response determines and brings about a desired result. There were many responses, but there was one response that was connected to the revelation of God, from God. One of the things that I'm constantly just praying and just asking, it's something that just helps me stay centered and just helps me stay focused, as I say, God, I never want to preach. I never want to share. I never want to get up in front of our church family. I never want to preach. I don't preach to impress you. Whenever I'm up here, whenever whoever's up here, it'll be what I request of them. Preach to reveal some things that will help people. Preach to reveal the heart of God and the truth of God, and preach from the Word of God with a motivation to help people. With a motivation to reveal some things that will help people to be positioned for God to build some things in your life, for God to do some things in your life. I don't preach to impress you. I preach to help you. And so I want to help you this morning to understand just a few ways and a few things that I believe can help to shape our response to God's voice, our response to a new season in God, our response to a directive from God, our response to something God's showing you or speaking you. And listen to me, this is important and significant corporately because of some things God's taking us into, but it's equally important and significant in your own life. understanding how to hear God, what he's speaking to you, developing a sensitive spirit to hear. God, what are you saying about my marriage? What are you saying about my life? What are you saying about my future? What are you calling me to? What are the steps that you'd have me to take? But let me encourage you, you can be a hearer and not a doer, and you won't enter into the reason that God's speaking the revelation. And so our response is the doing of it. Our response is the hearing from heaven and a stepping out and doing in the earth. So here's a few things I want to encourage you with about how to respond correctly, to receive from the revelation that God's speaking into your life. Number one, do it in faith over fear. With faith, I'm going to talk to you about three things: faith and joy and anticipation. And we've recently been in Joshua chapter 6, where the people of God, God came and spoke through Joshua. And he said, and it says this, and I'm reading to you from Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And it says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one went in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. Listen, that wasn't what you would see in the natural, but how many know we're the people of God and we're called to walk and live by faith and not by sight? What was seen in the natural in that very moment was something completely different than what God was calling Joshua to lead the people of God to begin to see what he had in mind, what he wanted to reveal to him, where he wanted to lead them, some of the victories he wanted to take them to so that they could experience and know he was faithful in a new way. Some of those things were yet to be seen in the natural. He was calling them to see with eyes of faith. And so when a correct response to whatever God's doing in your life is always faith over fear. Faith over fear, and with joy and with anticipation. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 and 41, if you want to turn there, you can, but they'll put it up for you here in a moment. And it says this, it says in verse 40, it says, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. Now, that makes me chuckle because this is Luke writing this about Peter sharing it. Basically, if you really read what he's saying right there, he's saying Peter was preaching a long message. Peter was preaching a long sermon with many words. And he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. But I want you to catch something in verse 41 that's significant. Again, we're talking about a response. There's an invitation from God. There's a revelation from God. The way we respond to it determines a lot of times how much we receive from it. And the response here in verse 41 is interesting to me. From the New King James, it says, then those who gladly received the word were baptized. That day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Come on, responding to the invitation of God, something that God's speaking with faith and with gladness ushers in the supernatural power of God. How many of you know 3,000 people don't get saved unless Jesus is up on the scene, unless the Spirit of God's moving, amen? Come on, can we have faith that God wants to do some similar things? He did it then. How many of you believe he can do it in Lawrence, Kansas? Come on, let me ask that again. Can I just encourage you, we ought to clap better than that. How many of you believe that he can do it again in Lawrence, Kansas? How many of you have faith to believe and will commit to pray that he can do it in Turkey through the ministry of David and Monica Taylor? Come on. Those who gladly received the word. And listen, this is regardless of our circumstances. And I know I'm taking you to a lot of God's word, but just go with me. And I mean, come on, that's a good thing to do in church. What God says is more important than what I say. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 7 says, so you receive the message with joy. You receive the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you both imitated us and the Lord, and as a result, you have become an example to all the believers. Listen, receiving the word in joy, it doesn't mean that it won't challenge you. And some of the things we're walking through as a church, just some of the change, and we're beginning to look forward, and I'm grateful for what God's speaking and what he's stirring and what he's showing. And a big part of this next season is going to be me with just all of with everything in my heart, asking God to grace me and grace our elders and grace our team to begin to come and begin to share and begin to extend invitations and begin to honor all that God's done in the past and begin to say he's not done with us yet. What he's done in the previous seasons are now just the foundation he desires to build his kingdom upon in our lives and in our city. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to be challenging. And I said it last week and it deserves to be said again. If it doesn't challenge you, it'll rarely change you. The status quo will rarely change you or prompt you or convict you. If it doesn't challenge you, it'll rarely change you. So receiving this invitation or this revelation with joy from the Holy Spirit it's not just dependent upon, oh, I like this. This makes sense to me. This is good. In everything, there's an opportunity. What did it say? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy that comes from the Holy Spirit, not our own temporal happiness or preferences, but joy that comes from seeing and sensing and discerning what God is speaking and what God is doing. That source of joy that allows us to receive the word with gladness. There's an invitation from God. He's building his church. He's building our lives. 1 Peter 2:5 says that he's building the church with living stones into a spiritual house. Colossians 2, verse 6 through 7 says, you must continue to follow him and let your roots grow down deep into him. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm going deep. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, I'm going deep. Let your lives grow down deep in him and let your lives be built on him. He's building his church and he's building our lives. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Listen, I want to help you this morning to begin to learn how to, and either continue to do it if you're already doing it effectively, or do it in a new way or a fresh way or a deeper way, begin to anticipate and hear, God, what you're doing is what I want to hear. What you're speaking is what I want to hear. What you're up to is what I want to see. I want to be in step with you, and I want to begin to respond. And let me just encourage you. There are many different places where God, I believe, is always trying to speak into our life. Men, he's always speaking into our life. He wants us to partner with him. If we just slow down, we just listen. He wants to help shape and sharpen you to become a better husband. He wants to help shape and sharpen you to become a better father. He wants to speak to you and give you wisdom and give you a path to get out of financial difficulty or problems. He wants to speak to you and reveal his will to you regarding your future and your career. He wants to speak. He's always looking to bring revelation. And I believe that when we begin to respond in a better way, when we begin to respond in faith and with joy and with gladness and with anticipation, because we know that what God's speaking, it might be difficult, it might be inconvenient, it might be challenging me in my heart to change or grow in some areas. It might call me to lay down some things or repent or turn from some previous mindsets or patterns of behavior to become more aligned with what God's calling me to do and who he's made possible for me to become. It might be challenging, but I'm willing because I begin to anticipate God's good and he's speaking this and he's doing this because he can see his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher and more numerous than mine. He's seen the end and he's trying to get me to something. If I can help you and prepare you to make the right responses to the voice of God, our lives begin to line up and our lives begin to be blessed and our lives begin to reach and impact the people around us with the love of the Father and the forgiveness and the power and the healing of Jesus. A hallmark of spiritual growth and of spiritual maturity is beginning to train and develop our responses to be more in line with the Father's heart. Our responses to begin to be more in line with the heart of God towards your wife, towards your husband, towards your kids, towards the hurting person in the line at Walmart. We always use Walmart, right? That's like the greatest mission field in the world right there. Come on, you know it's true. You go there, you find some hurting people. See, God begins to speak and say, pay for that person's groceries. God begins to speak and say, go give a word of encouragement to that mom. God begins to speak and you can just discern just the chaos in someone's life. And God says, go begin to tell them how Jesus is this source of peace in your life. See, God can speak that, but if there's not a response that's filled with compassion, conviction, and courage to go enter in, the lack of a response that lines up with the heart of the Father can limit how much of God's revelation is experienced and enjoyed by you and by others around you. So I just want to train us. I'll encourage you this morning to begin to have the faith and have the joy and to begin to anticipate that if God's calling you to do that, if God's calling you to speak, it might not be comfortable, it might not be convenient, but it's because he sees something that you can't see in your natural. He sees how that person's life will be changed. He sees how that person's children and their heritage, perhaps even beyond their children, will be changed by the simple word, by the simple interaction, by the simple imparting and sharing of faith to say, let me tell you about Jesus. Worship team, come up and prepare if you don't mind to close us with a song this morning. And listen, I want to tell you, the number one lie of the enemy is we're talking about responding to the revelation of God. Who do you say that I am? Responding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit or the prompting of God in any area of your life. You know, can I tell you what one of the number one lies of the enemy is that it's too late and you missed it. But can I encourage you with something this morning? It's never too late in God's economy to begin to do the right thing. It's never too late to begin to make the right response, and the faithfulness and the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. Come on, it's the heart of the gospel. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The whole heart of the gospel is an understanding and acknowledgement that there would be some times where we would have to say, you know what, I've been making the wrong response and the wrong decision, and I'm grateful for the grace and the mercy of Jesus that empowers me and graces me and allows me to just admit it and acknowledge it and begin to do the right thing. Come on, you begin to sow different seeds. You begin to start sowing different seeds and growing in different ways, even in the midst, perhaps, of reaping some of the difficult things or the decisions that maybe you did miss the mark. Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to their flesh, from the flesh reaps destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all the people, especially to those who belong in the family of believers. Listen, the lie of the enemy is that you missed it, that it's too late, that you're too far gone, that the dream is too far gone, that you're too far into it, too far in debt, your marriage is too close to the brink of divorce, whatever it is, that's a lie of the enemy. Listen, don't buy his lie. Don't buy his lie. The voice of the Lord says, repent for the kingdom. Change your mind, change your thinking, change your actions, change your behavior, change your response to who I am and what I'm doing in your life, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen, it's an invitation. God's not trying to just get you out of something. He's trying to get you to something. There's an amazing life. There's a kingdom life. There's this radical life. There's this adventure of faith that God's calling you to. Does it mean everything's going to be easy? No, he said otherwise. But I can tell you something. Being in the center of God's will, responding correctly to what he reveals about who you are, who he is, and what he's called you to, that's the best place to be. Amen. So worship team, prepare to lead us in praise. And just want to give you a few of you a chance to respond. And I always want to just ask you to just right where you are to just ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are you speaking to me? Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? Father, what are you speaking to me? How's this applicable? How's this relevant to my life, my situation, my circumstances, my relationships? Where are there places where you're speaking, you're revealing, you're doing, you're prompting, you're urging, you're calling, where maybe I've had the wrong response, or maybe I've held back on responding. Maybe there's been fear instead of faith. Maybe I've done it reluctantly, and so I've been walking some stuff out, but it's just become religion. And this morning, God wants to go take you from religion to reality. He wants to take you from a form of godliness to a power of God that's empowering you. He wants to transition and shift you into some seasons of just fresh enjoyment. What are you speaking? God, what are you speaking to us? What are you speaking to us? Are there places where I need to ask you and let you and trust you and invite you to heal my heart towards my spouse or towards you or in any area of my life where it'll allow me to begin to make the right response? Because I understand that, you know, you don't have a words problem. You don't have you have a heart problem towards someone or towards something or towards God. Lord, if that's true about me, Lord, would you just show me this morning? Come on, right where you are, would you just ask God the same thing? Lord, show me this morning.